In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us thank and pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered around your unperishing word on this beautiful evening of Good Friday. Dear God, you saw that we were unable to help us, and you knew that because of your righteous judgment, we had merited eternal damnation. You gave your only Son, which is the same being with you, to be born into this world of darkness and sin. And on this very Good Friday, he died for our sins. Dear God, we can never fully understand the depth, pain, and suffering that he had to go through, and yet being innocent. We thank you for this victory, for this work which you did for us. And we pray that you would bless our service tonight for the honor of your high name and for the edification of our weak souls. Dear God, we pray that you would speak, you would give words and understanding so that our troubled, weak minds and souls would be refreshed, that our fears would go away from us, at least for a moment, that you would kindle again that flame of faith and hope of heaven in our hearts. Dear God, serve us and be with us through your Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. At first, I want to greet you, dear brothers and sisters, who are sitting maybe in your homes, maybe in a smaller group, maybe all alone. We have now gone through strange and difficult weeks. May God help you to put your trust in him. May he comfort you as he only can. I thought to read what happened around this time on the Good Friday, when Jesus was buried. All four Gospels speak about it. John, in the most details, so I thought to read from John 19, verses 31-42. John 19, 31-42. And we hear the words in Jesus' name as follows. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Amen. Jesus' suffering started on Thursday evening. He suffered in a way which I don't think any one of us can understand. We know some of the facts, but the enormity of the suffering was such that our mind just cannot comprehend it. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in such pain that the Bible testifies that the sweat that broke out of him so strongly that it fell as droplets on the ground was like blood. And we know how the wounded conscience feels like when we have fallen into sin, and sin troubles our consciences. We know what it is. We know how it feels, how terrible the feeling is. And at that time, God made Jesus sin. He was all sin. That means all sins of everyone who have ever been born into this world, all of their sins throughout their lifetime was put upon Jesus. It is like an ocean of filth ran over him. It is impossible to understand the shame, the guilt, the pain that he suffered from. I think that the physical pain, although it was immense, was a smaller part of the pain. He was kept awake all night long. He was being beaten. He lost lots of blood, suffered immensely, so much that when they made Jesus to carry his cross, he couldn't finish it. They put Simon of Cyrene to carry it for him. And then they crucified him. And that happened in the morning. And at noon time of Good Friday, this natural sun hid itself. Even the powers of the nature showed what a special day and happening it was. Sun did not shine. It went to night. A darkness fell on the ground. And it stood like that for 3 hours. We know about the eclipse of sun, how it lasts even when it's kind of the best possible location to observe it. It lasts for a few minutes. Now, the sun was blocked for 3 hours, from noon to three. And our text mentions two Bible prophecies about Jesus, which were fulfilled. How none of his bones were broken, and how they pierced him. Both of these prophecies were written in the Old Testament. When he was on the cross, other prophecies became true. Everything that was prophesied of Jesus happened before he died. There were many prophecies about him, and they had to happen. And now, the evening was approaching. And it was one of the greatest days of observance for the Jews, meaning Passover, was at hand. So it was like it is today, Friday, and Sabbath at that time, or actually it is even today for the Jews, is their holy day, and it is Saturday. So Sabbath falls on Saturday. It was Friday evening, and the Sabbath began when the sun set, when the first stars started appearing to the sky. And we know that at those latitudes, the sun sets pretty quickly. Its course it goes pretty high up in the sky and goes down quick. And now the evening was approaching. Sun was setting, going down. And because it was a Sabbath coming, but as our text mentioned, it was a high day, a very special Sabbath, meaning Passover Sabbath. It was impossible to leave the bodies on the cross because they couldn't have been moved during the Sabbath day. So they had to be taken down. Two of those malefactors that were crucified with Jesus were still alive. All day long, they had approached death in the most horrible way. And so now, their legs were to be broken, that they cannot lift up themselves anymore, but they collapse and they suffocate. And so they came, and with a sledgehammer, they broke the legs of the first one, and then the second one. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. The Bible had to come true. The Passover lamb, which is a picture of Jesus, was a lamb of which no bones could be broken. And every Jew knew it. They had celebrated Passover for over 1,000 years, every year. And they knew it exactly. The lamb, Passover lamb, should be unblemished and none of the bones can be broken. So it must be perfect. And so, now when this disciple that gave record of it, he says, and he that saw it bear record. So there was an eyewitness. There was a disciple. There was a person who saw what happened. And this testimony is an eyewitness testimony. And the scripture had to be fulfilled. And now we come to this burial part. There were two men. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who came to Jesus during the night, and Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? I would say he was a follower of Jesus. He believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And all four gospel writers bear record of Joseph of Arimathea that he was a disciple of Jesus, that he believed in Jesus. But John gives more information. And he says, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. So, Joseph of Arimathea believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But he did not want to follow Jesus' followers. He chose to believe alone. And we know how important the kingdom of God is. How important it was for Jesus. He preached of this kingdom. And he sent his disciples to preach of it. When the disciples first left to these small mission trips, Jesus gave them a chart. What to say, what to speak. And his advice or command was to preach of God's kingdom. God's kingdom in the Bible has been described or compared to a mother. God has been compared to a father, and God's kingdom to a mother. So it is that important. And Joseph of Arimathea did not have anything to do with the congregation of God, with that group of people who believed like he did. So, this story of Joseph of Arimathea is a story of a man who believed on his own, who was sincere, honest, upright, but on his own. So, with a sorrowful heart, we have to say that he was not a child of God. He was a self-righteous man. He was on his own path. And his story is a description how close to God one can get with their own works. If a person is as upright as possible, as respectful, as honorable as possible, this is how close they can come to God. What did Joseph Arimathea do? He did not follow the living Christ, except from behind on his own way. But now, when Jesus died, he became bold. He's the Jesus that he preferred was a dead Jesus. He went to Pontius Pilate and asked that he could bury Jesus. He had prepared, and he had company, Nicodemus. And they both were the members of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was the 72, men of 72 that pretty much ran the whole country. They were spiritual leaders, but at that time, the kind of social power went hand in hand with spiritual. Of course, the country was directed and led by Romans, but they had pretty much autonomy, and that is where the Sanhedrin operated. These two men did not join into those decisions that were made concerning Jesus. So they stood upright. They said, no, we shouldn't do that. That's not right. And so in many ways they were bold. They did many right decisions, but they didn't want to follow his congregation. And they were wealthy and resourceful men. Joseph of Arimathea brought a very pricey linen cloth into which Jesus was being wrapped. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. 1 pound is about the same amount liquid like pop can. 100 of those. Just think about the amount of this ointment that they had. There's another story about ointment that happened a few days before. Do you remember? This woman who had a one measure, like about the size of a pop can, again, of nardus oil, which was so pricey that this one little container cost about 1 year's worth of wages. You work for 1 full year and you can buy this ointment. And she used it to anoint Jesus. And Judas Iscariot first, and then the other disciples were kind of murmuring against it. Why this waste? In a few gulps went 1 year's wages. And do you remember what Jesus said? Why are you unhappy with this lady? She did it for my burial. Jesus, in his lifetime, said, let dead bury their dead. And I think, I don't know, I can't say for sure, how could I? But I think Jesus, even there, knew that he will be buried by spiritually dead people. He will not be buried by believers. So this what Mary did was for his burial. He was still alive a few days before he suffered and died. Mary did it for Jesus. And Jesus said, what this lady, what Mary did for me shall be spoken throughout the world. All people should know what she did. And I remember at least once I kept a sermon in Russia on a mission trip of this text. And I said, I chose this text because Jesus said that everybody should know and hear what she did. So now we have two anointments. And the method is different. When Nicodemus came, he had 100 times more than Mary had. He was a man full of resources. He was a wealthy man. He was a man who get things done. But he was not a follower of Jesus, except in a very secretive way. He came to Jesus by night, and the Bible does not give a testimony that he repented there. He spoke with Jesus, and he said that you have come from God. So, but that faith is not enough. He did not receive the kingdom as Jesus set his disciples to preach. And now they took the body of Jesus and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices and with this all this anointment. Like, well, how much is it? If it's a one can, 100 times, so 100 cans a pop, how many gallons? I can't even think right now, but it's many gallons of this ointment. And the long linen cloth, it was like king's burial. They treated him very well, very beautifully. And that Jesus was their Jesus. This is how high a person in a serious, honest self-righteousness can reach. They had Jesus. He was their Jesus. They were able to do whatever they wanted to do. That Jesus was compliant to them. If they wanted to put his hands on his side, they were able to. If they wanted to put his hands on top of his breast, yes, they could have. Jesus had to do whatever they wanted. But that Jesus was a dead Jesus. The Spirit was gone. So that's the difference between self-righteousness and being a child of God. The children of God, those weak ones had fled. There were some eyewitnesses, mostly ladies. The disciples had gone. Peter had even denied his Lord and Master. Jesus truly suffered alone. He did everything alone. Not even his closest ones were able to lift a finger to help him. When Jesus was writhing in agony, praying in Gethsemane, they slept. There were three disciples, three closest ones, three disciples whom we would think that if someone they would have done something for Jesus, they were unable to. Nothing. God did everything from the first to the last step by himself. This salvation that we speak about, this forgiveness that we preach is God's. We have nothing of our own. We can only own it by grace, freely. We cannot give anything to God for it, except our weak thanks. We cannot do anything for it. It is the gift of God. And now Joseph and Nicodemus buried Jesus right before the Sabbath set in. This is how God prepared the salvation for us. Jesus died on his own. And when he was dead, he was buried by people who had not followed him openly, publicly, during his lifetime. So, dear brothers and sisters, all that we have is a gift. It is well said when Luther used the word alien righteousness. Our righteousness is not from us. It is totally, 100% alien from us, outside from us. But you can own it. By faith, you can own it. And God wants you to own it. God wants you to believe. He did it to be owned. That is God's will, that we, by faith, we own it. Perfectly, totally, 100%. And so, dear brothers and sisters, in this difficult day, which day speaks unto us about Jesus' suffering and death, this also is a good Friday. It is good because it brought us the immense gift from God. So, uplift your hearts and believe all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In this blood that He shed for us. And when we believe in this way, we receive everything that He promises. God's promises are sure, and they are for you when you believe. So be of good cheer, be thankful, and be hopeful, and believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Can I also believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join into the closing prayer and benediction. Dear God, we thank you for the gift which we can own, which you willingly give unto us. And we pray that we could own and keep it until the end of our lives, that we could one day come to your glory in heaven, and there we promise to give you thanks for all of your work. Dear God, we pray on behalf of those who struggle and suffer, maybe because of illness, maybe because of some other kind of worries. And we pray on behalf of those who have lost this most precious gift, the gift of living faith. Dear God, help them to humble their hearts and take the difficult steps backwards and open their hearts and minds to see where they fell away and what they should repent of. Dear God, bless the spoken word in our hearts and give life to it. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.